But for many of us, West Indian cricket had become important long before then. The English teams that went there and were held to a drawn test series in 1929-30 and beaten in 1934-35 and again in 1947-48 had no doubt of the high quality of their cricket. But somehow, West Indian sides seemed less certain of themselves in England and Australia where they were firmly beaten in tests. Still, they made an immense impact in England in 1928. I was still at school at the time, but like everyone else in England, I was thrilled by Leary Constantine, now Sir Leary. He was a cricketer, it seemed, by nature, by birth and by upbringing.
All the boys in our family played cricket. My father first came to England with the West Indies team in 1900, and my uncle, on my mother's side, also played for the West Indies. So you see, there was cricket on both sides, and I just couldn't help it. My father used to talk cricket to us far above the level of the average child. He'd tell us not only about movement, but about what was passing through the other fellow's mind. He believed cricket was a means of expressing character. Some people find cricket dull and uninteresting, but it shouldn't be. It's only a study. I remember my first cricket bat when I was 4 or 5. It wasn't a cricket bat in the sense that English boys know them. It was made from a branch cut from a coconut tree. The ball we played with was a young orange or grapefruit, dried in the sun till the rind came off, and rolled round until it became flexible, and we could get 40 or 50 runs off it before we demanded a new ball.
My first impression of Constantine was an aboundingly spectacular fast bowler, tearing open the strong Hampshire batting at that time on a good wicket at Southampton. He became the most exciting figure of that English cricket season when, by his bowling and precariously mighty batting, he turned the course of the game against Middlesex and virtually won it single-handed. But most of all, he captured the imagination as the finest fieldsman there's ever been. He ran like the wind, meant to pick up at top speed as if he was made of rubber and springs, and he caught with an almost superhuman certainty. His catching, indeed, wasn't limited to cricket balls.
I used to get my head boxed when I dropped a catch. My father used to say it meant I'd been thinking about what I was going to have for dinner. It was just lack of concentration. We learned to catch so that we could throw open knives to each other without hurting our hands. And we used to practice with my mother's best plates and cups. Our kitchen was set a little way away from the rest of the house. There was a long flight of steps down, then a distance of about 5 yards. There were 7 of us in the family, and when we'd finished a meal, my brother would stand on the kitchen steps, and I'd stand in the dining room, and I'd throw in all the plates and crockery for washing up. I can't remember that we ever missed any. Only a few years ago, my brother came over to England to see some cricket, and we took him a tour of the Lake District in a shower. We stopped for a meal at a wayside cafe, and at the end of it, my brother and I offered to help wash up. I stood at the table, and my brother went to the kitchen door, and I started spinning all the teacups and over to him. The manager has nearly died of heart failure. I think the people who were on the shower trip with us still laugh at it sometimes.
Constantine somehow personified West Indian cricket in the English mind between the two wars. But there was respect, too, for all their fast bowlers, John, Francis, Griffith, and Martindale, and for the first master batsman, George Headley. Constantine was to remain many years in England, to become High Commissioner for Trinidad and Tobago, and to receive a knighthood.